Hello, my name is John Cased. I'm the host and president of EnlightenRadio.org. You're listening to a podcast of Resistance Radio, hosted by Stuart Acuff, legendary AFL-CIO organizer, talking about the resistance to Trump in the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia, involving several local activists. This podcast was broadcast originally on June 21st, 2017, in Shepherdstown, West Virginia, at 114 German Street, above the bookstore. Check us out at www.enlightenradio.org. To check out podcasts, go to podcasts.enlightenradio.org. Thank you.
This is a resistance to Donald Trump, fascism, authoritarianism, and the radical right wing, and the redistribution of wealth from the middle and the bottom to the top. And brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, friends and neighbors, we have a great case in point of the Republican Party and the GOP's attempt and effort and success, quite frankly, in transferring wealth from us to the very richest amongst us. So we're going to get into this in a little bit, but I just want to lead off with this. They want to take 23 million Americans off health care. They want to end Medicaid for 120 or 30,000 West Virginians. They want to do away with the protection for pre-existing conditions just so they can give a gigantic tax break to the wealthiest amongst us. One of the things they want to do in this tax break is they want to lower the corporate rate from 35% down to 15%. Massive redistribution of wealth and power. I am so happy that we have such wonderful guests on today. And of course, we are joined, as we always are, by my friend, my leader, my colleague, my compadre, my comrade, John Case, the founder of EnlightenRadio.org, the station manager, my leader, working as an engineer today, because yours truly, Stuart Acuff, is too damn dumb to work three computers at the same time. I think one of our guests is calling in.
I turned my computer off so that you would not get little ding-dongs every time Facebook posts to me, okay?
Well, that's a good thing, John. Thank you for doing that. That was very thoughtful and kind. We appreciate it. So let me talk to you about what happened in Georgia yesterday. Now, those of you who listen to this show very much know that I spent 15 years of my life in Georgia, most of it, almost all of it, in and around Atlanta, where the 6th Congressional District is. The 6th Congressional District used to be Newt Gingrich's district. It stretches from suburban DeKalb County, the wealthy north end of DeKalb County, east to Athens, Georgia, a wonderful university town where the University of Georgia is. It is all suburbs and exurbia. In other words, sort of in the country, sort of the edges of suburbia. It's always been Republican. This district has always been reliably Republican. And I believe Trump carried this district by over 20 points just last November. And we had our hopes up that political newcomer John Ossoff would be able to take this district away from the Republican Party. He was squaring off against Karen Handel, a Republican hack. And we raised a ton of money for John, and he ran a good, strong race. And he lost by 4 or 5 points. I believe the final analysis was 4 points. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, this was always going to be a stretch to see if we could win this. Now, we built our hopes up because we were trying to raise as much money as possible, and we raised a lot of money. This was a national race. I think Ossoff spent $25 million. To give you an example of how much money that is, I'm an old man, but I ain't that old. I well remember 20 years ago when $200,000 was a lot of money to spend in a congressional race. This was over 10 times that much money. And we lost. But do not be discouraged about losing in this election. This was always an uphill battle. We still have the elections in 2018 that are up for grabs in both the House and the Senate. This is very doable, but we will win based on what we do right now and based on resisting the Trump agenda, resisting the Trump fascism and authoritarianism, resisting the Trump's assault on the Constitution, Trump's assault on the judiciary, resisting Trump's assault on health care, resisting Trump's assault on the press, resisting Trump's assault on democracy. That is the task before us in America today. That's the task before us in West Virginia. And of course, we're talking to people all over America and all over the world right now. That is the task for America's allies around the world. Don't drop us because of the president. We love you. We're going to keep loving you. When you think of America, think of her people, not this orange buffoon in, depends on where he wants to be, at one of his golf courses or in the White House. Today is as good a day as it was yesterday to work for justice. It's as good a day as it was yesterday to work for freedom and democracy. And it's as good a day as it was yesterday to fight the Republican attempt to destroy health care for average Americans. Today in the studio, I have Susan Pipes and Cheryl Kemp. Susan is with West Virginia Women's March. She is one of the main most leaders in our resistance fight here in West Virginia. Cheryl is a grassroots activist who's been very involved in the resistance. And calling in, we're going to have a sister from Planned Parenthood, Elisa, and I am blanking on Elisa's last name. Clements. Thank you. Thank you, Susan. We'll be calling in to join us today. I want to walk us through, if we can, what's wrong with the GOP health care effort, why it will hurt West Virginians, and why it will hurt Americans, what we're going to do about it to stop it, and how we're going to win this fight. Let me just tell you, I've been thinking about this, and as we say in parts of the South, conversating a little bit with John Case about this. When was the last time you watched the United States Congress work so hard in secret and go to as much trouble as Mitch McConnell is going to hide from the American people what they intend to do to the American people? And they worked so hard and in secret to hurt so many Americans so badly. Cheryl, if you don't mind, would you take us through the points that we all need to be aware of in terms of what the Republican health care plan will do to average Americans? This is Cheryl Kemp.
Sure, Stuart. I can apply it to myself because that's the person that I know the best.
Yep.
When I look at how the ACA actually came and actually helped everybody. I myself have employer-sponsored health care.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't buy through the marketplace, that kind of deal. Most Americans who have insurance have it through the employer-sponsored. I am retired, so I pay 100% of my my health care bill.
Mm-hmm.
Before the ACA came in, my son, who is now an adult, he has epilepsy. He stayed on my policy until age 26, which meant his medicines were covered, meant his doctor's visits for the EEGs and things like that were covered. So it was, we were able to manage it. without the ACA, I don't know what we would have done at that point. He would have been kicked off at 18.
Right.
So that was one of the big things that we have with that. He also, when he was able to get his own policy, he didn't have to undergo a waiting period. He was able to get insurance.
Well, that's a good point.
Immediately.
Right.
There was no pre-existing condition coverage clause where you have to wait a year before it all kick in, that kind of deal. But he was able to get it immediately. That was under the ACA. That happened.
Right.
The preventative services with the ACA means that I can get my screenings and my husband can do his, the screening colonoscopies. We get the well women visits. I get mammograms, all of that at no copay. That is the ACA that did that.
Also known as Obamacare.
Also known as Obamacare.
The Affordable Care Act.
The Affordable Care Act. People love to, on the Republican side, slam Obamacare. Honestly, in my opinion, is that just because his name is on it.
That's right.
It's not because of the Affordable Care Act itself. It's because they right. tagged it Obamacare, and they've done their best for 7 years to get rid of it.
Right.
And now it looks like they're trying very hard to do that. There's so many things with the ACA that you have guarantees of with insurance through your employer. It's not just the Medicaid. It's not just going through the marketplace to get policies.
Right.
The ACA benefited everybody. It protects us. If we, my insurance decided before, if I was costing them too much money, they could just kick me off the policy.
Right.
Without a reason. They could just kick me off.
Right.
That's not allowed anymore. They have to continue to pay. There's no maximums. If I have an expensive insurance or expensive health care or a condition, they can't stop me at $750,000 and say, okay, you're done. Everything now is out of your pocket.
Right.
That was the ACA.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Republicans are trying to kill.
Right. Well, there's also this point, and let me just mention that there was a great article this week in the New Yorker magazine about the opioid epidemic in West Virginia. And I live in Martinsburg, West Virginia. It's a depressed, old manufacturing town. And you can see the effects of deindustrialization in that town. And we have a huge addiction problem in Martinsburg, West Virginia. We have a huge addiction problem in Appalachia. In fact, we have a huge addiction problem in America. And without Obamacare, without the Affordable Care Act, we're going to lose the ability to empty nonviolent offenders from the jails and treat them for their addiction instead of punishing them for something they cannot help, which is their addiction. So if we're serious about the health and welfare of our state, the state of West Virginia, we got to be serious about health care for people who need it. And we got to be serious about the Medicaid expansion. The Medicaid expansion affects about 120,000, 130,000 West Virginians. And, of course, our Senator Capito committed to never voting for anything that would take West Virginians off of Medicaid. And so there's a lot to fight for here, and there's a lot to fight against. The bottom line is that Senator Capito is waffling on her word to people of West Virginia about whether or not she would vote to kill Obamacare and vote for a Republican-sponsored bill that will take West Virginians off health care and put the people of West Virginia at risk in their health care. Folks, we've got to call the senator today, right now, and ask her or her staff, why are you considering violating your word and allowing hundreds of thousands of West Virginians to be taken off Medicaid and therefore off of health care? Now, Susan, you're a fantastic leader in West Virginia Women's March. And you have been involved in a lot of the interactions. That's where you and I met. Involved with a lot of the interactions with Capito's office and Capito's staff. Can you refresh our memory on what Capito has committed to in terms of what her vote will be on a Republican health care replacement for Obamacare? Because she has been crystal clear in her commitment to protect West Virginia, the people of West Virginia, when it comes to changing the healthcare system in America. Hold on, Susan. Actually, why don't you go ahead and talk about, we'll bring Elisa in a minute.
You're on the, I have to answer the phone now.
Sure.
Okay. Lisa, are you on the phone?
Yeah, no, I tried calling and I kept getting voicemail. I'm sorry for being late.
Oh, no, you're good. I don't know why you got voicemail, but it rang that time. Okay.
You're on, Elisa. How are you?
Okay. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We're right in the middle of a question. We'll pick this up with you in just a minute. I'll more fully introduce you in just a minute. Susan, so the question is, can you be more specific about what Capito has said about her commitment to not vote to take West Virginians off of Medicaid and off of health care?
Hi. Yes, Capito has made actually several quotes, and it was printed also in the Charleston Gazette. Capito made sure and maintained a public stance that she would absolutely not vote for any measures that would leave thousands of her constituents uncovered. And her constituents are West Virginians. So she made a promise that she would cover 170,000 of the working families of West Virginians under the Medicaid expansion. And she even visited some of our West Virginians direct treatment. So, Once again, we are wondering why she would go back on her word. And one of the other things that she had clearly stated, and again, this is in print in the Charleston Gazette, she wanted to make sure that no one in West Virginia, no one, would be penalized for having pre-existing conditions. So these are two very, very important issues that West Virginians are facing, and 170,000 people that in West Virginia that could lose this coverage, that is something that we are fighting for, because this is not a left or right issue. This is a human right issue for all West Virginians, all of us. So I urge you, all of you, that you make your phone calls to Capito, that however you need to do it to get in contact, to be visible, and let her know. And yes, phone calls are important. You can do it in her Martinsburg office. You can do her Washington, D.C. office. And I will get you the phone numbers here in a minute. The office in, is this the D.C. number? All right. Thank you so very much, Stuart. The D.C. office to call is 202-224-3121. And once again, do let her know. Why would she go back on her word? You can even tell her a personal story to what would affect you. Also, postcards would be awesome, would be great, because this floods her office. And another thing is, you can use Twitter. And in a minute, I will talk a little bit more about some medical functions we're going to have, but you can use the hashtag SaveMeCapito, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. But phone calls flood her line.
Thank you so much, Susan. Susan's point is very well taken, and in fact, all over America last week and this week, people just like you and me are calling our senators and asking them to not support the GOP health care bill, which is really a tax cut bill for the very rich. It's a massive transfer of wealth and resources from the middle and the bottom to the very, very top. Alisa, are you there?
Yep, I'm still here.
Oh, great. Welcome very much. This is Resistance Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters.
Can you hear us okay, Lisa?
I hear you perfectly. Thank you.
Good enough. Thank you.
Friends and neighbors, this is Alisa Clement. I'm sorry, Lisa. I hesitated over your last name. So Lisa Clement with Planned Parenthood. We're so glad to have you on the show today. And tell us where you're calling in from.
I'm calling in from Morgantown, actually. I live in Morgantown. And I'm headed, actually, to Parkersburg later today, which is why I couldn't be there in the studio, because we're having a Pink Out the Night rally in front of our health center in Vienna.
Great. Well, we believe in spreading the generals out, spreading the troops out. So we're glad you're here, there, and yon around the state. So tell us, it would be really good for us to hear about the services Healthcare Services Planned Parenthood delivers to at-risk women and children, to the most vulnerable women amongst us. Can you talk about healthcare services that Planned Parenthood delivers?
Yeah, we have a lot of services that are good for anybody, not just for women and for young adults, but for men as well. And if you go to our health center in Vienna, you can go get birth control. You can get cancer screenings, STI testing and treatment, HIV testing and treatment, referrals for things that we don't cover, such as mammograms. If you detect in a breast exam, they detect a lump, they can refer you to an oncologist to get a mammogram. We do basic healthcare things like cancer or cholesterol screenings and testing for diabetes as well. So there's just a wide range of services that you can get from our health center in Vienna.
Great. Thank you so much. It is important, since the Republicans have put Planned Parenthood into this debate, for people of West Virginia to know exactly what Planned Parenthood does and how important Planned Parenthood is. To low-wage, low-income West Virginians and women at risk. What are you all doing about this healthcare vote coming up, this secret vote on this secret bill that isn't written, that nobody's seen, this phantom Mitch McConnell turtle bill?
Well, I will say that, you know, they are pushing really hard and fast for this vote in the next 2 weeks, and they expect it as early as the 26th. And if it passes, it's going to be devastating for millions of people. For us specifically, if people aren't able to come to play, they won't be able to come to Planned Parenthood anymore, and they'll lose their insurance. The price of insurance will skyrocket. And so we are pushing that messaging out that this is not good for Americans. This is not good for our country. You know, our health centers across the country are going to be at risk for not being able to provide service to patients. You know, patients will not be able to choose to go to us because they won't be able to afford it. And so talking about this, making sure that our senators are hearing from us and people know what's at risk because they are doing this in secret, I think that's the most important thing. Things like rallies, you know, we have the rally tonight, we have a rally on Sunday with a big coalition of partners in Charleston, and then we're having two rallies, sister rallies on Monday in Morgantown and in Martinsburg, so that especially for Senator Capito to hear us, because her vote is very crucial in this fight. She could really make a difference and stand with the people of West Virginia by voting against this bill.
Absolutely. In fact, we can't stop this bill without Senator Capito. So really, if Senator Capito violates her word to the people of West Virginia, she will be in part responsible for throwing 23 million Americans off of health care. And I can't think of another thing the United States Congress has done that would hurt so many Americans so badly, and especially anything that Congress has done that went so much against their self-interest in terms of politics. Nobody Nobody in America, well, 17% of the people in America like the ideas of the Republican health care bill. But I think it's up to 65 or 70% who dislike the Republican health care bill. Susan, let's talk about the actions we have coming up here in the Eastern Panhandle. We've got postcard signings, we've got die-ins, and we've got one of the most important rallies of the year coming up on Monday in Martinsburg. Susan, you want to talk about those events, where the where, when, and what?
We realize the Capitol is the key, and we would like to gain her attention, so we have planned quite a few events, and we would like to invite you. Pack your cars full and join us. One of the events coming up is right here in Shepherdstown. Actually, we have two. And right now, on June 23rd, Friday, this Friday, we, and this is with Vigilance of Jefferson County, it's called a postcard station, and it's going to be from 3 to 5 p.m. at Maria's Taqueria. And also, Maria's birthday, and we're having a birthday party for her. It's on 108 East German Street, so please join us. And basically, this is a time to write to our senators. We are going to help you if you need to have some talking points. The postcards and post stamps will be supplied to you, and so please help us reach out to our senators, especially Capito, to let her know we do not want her to go back on her word. And that same Friday, June 23rd, from 7 to 8, we're having a die-in. You ask, what is a die-in? Well, we will tell you. Bring some posters that look like a headstone, and you may write on there, and here's some ideas. Hey, ACA repeal killed me. I got, rest in peace, coverage denied. What this is a visual impact, a form of protest that lets them know we're going to let Capito see this via Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're going to use the hashtag SaveMeCapito. But this visual impact lets our senators know, especially Capito, that the health care repealing ACA, aka Obamacare, is bad for West Virginians. You can put on there, killed by preventable disease, or if I only had been a member of Congress. But you're invited to the die-in right here at McMurrin Hall, 7 to 8 in Shepherdstown. We have another one.
That's on Friday, right?
Yes, yes, Stuart, you're right. That's Friday, right after the postcard vigilance at Maria's Taqueria, June 23rd. And not to bore you, but these are so important events. June 24th, this Saturday, we also have one in Charlestown from 7 to 8 at the library. Another die-in. We like to lay down on the sidewalk, and hey, we will also outline your beautiful body, your dead body, so when we leave and people that walk by will see the impact.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
Can I come dressed in white linen?
You may.
Okay, I just...
Or you can dress in black, and we'll put a toe tag on you, John.
Okay, that's good. That's good. And I was going to ask Lisa if how many people, in, if she not understands, how many people in West Virginia are currently served by Planned Parenthood? Do we know that at all?
No, I do not.
Lisa, are you, can you still hear us?
Lisa, can you hear us?
Uh-oh.
Lisa, did we lose you?
We might have. Okay, let's try again.
If we don't get Lisa back, then I'll find that out and I'll answer that question next.
All right. I don't know. Here, oh, she's calling.
Lisa,
again.
Can you call in?
Yeah, here she is. Are you on? Can you hear us, Lisa? Uh-oh, she can't hear us.
Okay.
Lisa, can you hear us?
Okay. Lisa, call back in. But I really want to go over again these two events coming up. In the Eastern Panhandle this week. Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock at Maria's Taqueria.
There we go. Lisa, are you there now?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I don't know. You got disconnected somehow. This internet telephone thing is a little
Skimpy. Okay.
I can hear the entire conversation. I was like, I'm speaking. Can you not hear me?
Okay, but I wanted to ask you a question about do you have any numbers on how many people are served by Planned Parenthood in West Virginia?
In West Virginia, we serve about 1,000 patients, give or take. That's an approximate number.
Great.
1,000?
Great.
Okay. Okay.
About 1,000.
There's only one in West Virginia, huh? Is that it?
Yeah, we only have one in Vienna.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on, Alisa. And if you can, stay on for the rest of the conversation. I was just going back over the actions that we have this week. On Friday, here in Shepherdstown, from 3 to 5 at Maria's Taqueria. It's a great restaurant on German Street in downtown Shepherdstown. We're doing a postcard signing party to our two senators from West Virginia, Capito and Manchin, sponsored jointly by West Virginia Women's March and Vigilance, part of the Indivisible Movement. That's from 3 to 5 on Friday at Maria's Taqueria. It is Maria's birthday, and so we're going to have a little party involved there. And then at 7 o'clock on Friday evening, we're doing a die-in in front of McMurrin Hall. That's the administration building right here in downtown Shepherdstown, administration building of Shepherd University. And then Saturday, which is June 24th, at 7 o'clock in Charlestown, that's in the Eastern Panhandle, Charlestown in Jefferson County. In front of the library, we're doing another die-in. Now, why are we doing die-ins? Because the Republican health care bill will actually cause the deaths of West Virginians and Americans, and we have to bring that message home in a very, very strong way. I think the two most important demonstrations coming up this month in America are the two demonstrations on Monday. Monday here in Martinsburg in the Eastern Panhandle at Senator Capito's office, there's a demonstration Monday afternoon. Susan, give us the details on that demonstration, please.
So on Monday, on June 26th from 6 to 7, we have Protect Our Healthcare Rally in Martinsburg, West Virginia. In front of Capito's office, which is 300 Foxcroft Avenue in Martinsburg, we are again wanting to grab Capito's attention to let her know that we would like to protect our health care, protect West Virginians' health care. Capito needs to vote no on the AHCA, which is a harmful legislation that will repeal the ACH, aka Obamacare. So we are gathering on Monday, June 26th at 6 p.m. in front of Senator Capito's office in Martinsburg. And once again, we're doing this because we do not want her to go back on her word when she promised to protect those people in West Virginia, her constituents, to make sure that all those with pre-existing conditions would be covered. The Medicare, our people, West Virginians, those that really need to be covered in the rural areas, the people that are in low-income categories, we, all of us, need to fight, call her, show up to these rallies, let her know that it's not okay to abandon us. She needs to vote no. So we're going to visually show her via these rallies. We're going to videotape this. We're going to take pictures, and we're going to show her what we got to do.
Thank you very much, Susan, and thank you all for tuning in. This is Resistance Radio on enlightenradio.org. And this is your friends and neighbors talking to you about what's in the best interest of the people of West Virginia and what's in the best interest of our states. This is, you know, we're all in this resistance movement against Trump together. Cheryl, how did you get involved in this resistance movement?
Well, like a lot of people, I'm sure it started in November.
Yeah.
With the election. For the first time in my life, I was literally afraid of who had been elected into office. It scared me. Matter of fact, I don't think I slept at all that night. Through the month of December, I kind of wandered around thinking, how do I get involved? What do I do? Who do I call? Who do I see? What am I looking for? So I started getting on the internet and I started Googling. I found the Indivisible website. And from the Indivisible website, I found a link to the group in Shepherdstown, Indivisible. The Indivisible group called Vigilance. At that point in time, we were Vigilance, not Jefferson County, but Vigilance something else. I forget the original name, but it was... So I attended the first meeting that they had. There were a couple hundred of us there, all pretty much the same way. We're all feeling very depressed, and what can we do? We need to do something. We need some outlet for our energies, and that's how I got started.
That's great. And you've been active ever since?
Ever since. I've also went to the Women's March on the 21st. I made that plan the day after the election when it first started with a group of us. I didn't go on the buses with the ladies that left from Jefferson County, but I also had family in Virginia, so we hooked up and went in. We had six or seven of us. I also sought out the Democratic organization in Jefferson County and joined them to make sure that I could try to help elect more like-minded individuals and work with them.
Pro-West Virginia
folks, exactly. Right. So that's basically my story in a nutshell as far as how I got involved, and I stay involved.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. Elisa, how'd you get involved with Planned Parenthood?
I've actually been really active in politics for about 9 years, and I've been with Planned Parenthood South Atlantic for 2.5. And I got involved originally because of Barbara Fleshour. Delegate Fleshour had recommended me for a position that was open as an organizer for Planned Parenthood in West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I actually had been a patient of Planned Parenthood. I lived in Maine about 7 years ago, and that was where I went for my health care. So I knew the organization. I knew how great they were and what great services they offered. And so I went there and got birth control and the screenings I needed for my health. Mm-hmm. And when this opportunity came up, I thought, this is a great organization. They've helped me. They've helped millions of other patients. And we could have a really, really great opportunity in West Virginia to talk about Planned Parenthood and change people's minds about Planned Parenthood, because we do offer so many amazing services for people.
It's a great organization. I'm proud to say that an old dear friend of mine is the head of Planned Parenthood, Cecile Richards, whose mother was Ann Richards, the governor of Texas, and Cecile and I did union organizing in East Texas together about two lifetimes ago, maybe 200 years ago, long, long time ago. It's great to have you on the phone with us today, Elisa, and it's great that you're doing as much as you're doing. So can you tell us about, now we don't want anybody going from the Eastern Panhandle to Morgantown for the rally in Morgantown, because we got one in Martinsburg. But can you tell us about the rally going on in Morgantown on Monday?
Yeah, so the rally in Morgantown is the same concept as what's in Martinsburg. And we planned those as a part of a sister rally for the bigger one on Sunday in case people couldn't travel to Charleston. And so they are doing a similar situation at Capito's office. At 6 p.m., they will go in front of her office and rally. To make sure that she knows we're listening, we're watching her, and that we can't accept her taking away our health care. I think that's the most important thing. For us specifically, you know, you're gutting the Medicaid program, and 1 in 4 women of the reproductive age rely on the health services that we provide. And
wow, want to say that again, please? Say that again. How many?
Approximately 1 in 4 women of reproductive age rely on access to no-cost critical reproductive health care, like birth control and cancer screenings and maternity care. And this bill, this AHCA, is taking those options away. They're making it harder for women and for people to find health care that they can afford.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're limiting protections that restrict insurance companies, from charging people with pre-existing conditions. They make it unaffordable. And under this bill, health insurance companies will be able to charge people tens of thousands of dollars a month just for having cancer or having any kind of pre-existing condition. And so I think the point of the rallies, the three rallies that we are having, are to make sure that she knows this is unacceptable for West Virginia and for our country.
Yep. Well, and it is. I mean, as we've said now, I think several times in this broadcast, I can't remember when the U.S. Congress has worked so hard, so secretively, so deceptively, so in back rooms to harm the American people by destroying health care for up to 23 million Americans. And we are fighting back. We are standing up. We're standing strong. We're letting our voices be heard. And the more you come out with us, the more you help us, the more you're helping yourself and your neighbors and your family, and the more you're helping our state. Look, we've got a healthcare crisis in West Virginia. It's called the addiction epidemic. And destroying healthcare, destroying the Medicaid expansion will only hurt hundreds of thousands of West Virginians. Susan, is West Virginia Women's March and Vigilance going to be active all summer?
Well, of course, this is not a race. This is a marathon. I mean, and exactly, it's not a sprint. We're going to be always active, always, and we're working together, and that is what Women's March is about. We're joining other groups. We're joining Vigilance of Jefferson County, Planned Parenthood. This upcoming rally in Martinsburg is a great example of all the groups we are joining all across, you know, West Virginia. There are seven other groups that we have joined. But yes, and you know, you mentioned the opioid crisis in West Virginia, and you mentioned that great article in the New Yorker. We even have, you know, the editor of the Observer. He was mentioned in it. So all of us are affected by that. We know somebody that unfortunately is addicted, or maybe a family member, maybe a neighbor, and this is something that's considered a pre-existing condition. And if that is not covered, and a West Virginian can't reach out and get help, and so what are we going to do? It's truly going to crash our healthcare system in America. And again, Capita promised to make sure she would take care of West Virginians. So we do. We need to help to hold her accountable. And I can't stress enough that this truly is not about being left or right. This is a human issue for not only all Americans, but it is especially important for West Virginians since she is our senator. So all I can ask for is everybody to get on the phone, make your voices be heard, come out to our rallies that are happening all across the state, write the postcards, get on Twitter, get on their Facebook pages, go to Instagram. There are so many ways to contact both senators, in fact, because, you know, if you, I don't want to say bother, but yes, get into Manchin's face too. Because he does have to talk to Capito, and every single one of these senators hopefully will persuade and say, don't vote for AHCA.
Thank you so much, Susan. John and I were at a healthcare town hall with Senator Manchin in Martinsburg, what, 2 months ago, John? You know, when we're talking about the resistance, we're talking about people standing up. We're talking about people speaking out. There were 400 people at that town hall meeting. Senator Manchin held it. He did a masterful political job. And he halfway committed that day. But I think now, Cheryl, that Senator Manchin is completely committed to voting against the McConnell GOP healthcare bill. Is that right, Cheryl?
Yes, he's come out and said that he is against anything that's going to remove the healthcare for West Virginians, like the AHCA would do. But Susan's right. We need to work on him as well because he does have Senator Capito's ear. And if he can help convince her to vote no, then all the better. We need him.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and thanks for schooling the carpetbagger over here. I just retired to West Virginia. Love it, love it, love it. Retired to West Virginia, still learning the politics, and it's good to know that Senator Manchin has Senator Capito's ear. He needs to be talking to her.
I wish he had her leg and hands, too.
And you know,
and her head.
You can take that any way you want to, because this is internet radio, and we're not following the regulations.
No,
the
I just drag her kicking and screaming, however it takes,
right,
you know.
Right. Go on to the floor with her, right?
Well,
all right, John.
I just get her to vote right. I don't do the right thing.
Right. So today, really, folks.
Her nephew made an interesting speech at the state legislature against the AHCA.
Right.
You know, Riley. Riley's turned out to be his own guy a little bit.
Yeah.
I guess that helps when you've got four generations of governors behind you or something like that.
You know, I heard that somebody said that Capito's father, grandfather, Arch?
His father. Her father.
Her father. Would be spinning in his grave if he knew she was talking about taking 23 million Americans off of health care and 130,000 West Virginians off of
Medicaid. Well, I don't know. I mean, Arch is like the classic legacy Republican in West Virginia. We'd have to see exactly how outraged Arch would get. Of course, Arch had to stay out of jail. That was his big problem. You know? Actually, he served time.
We can help anybody stay out of jail.
Yeah, I know.
We're so busy. Just come be with us.
Yeah.
do a couple of die-ins this week and go to Martinsburg with us on Monday.
Maybe I'll call Riley and see if he wants to come on Friday and be in a die-in.
What, John?
Maybe I can get Riley to be in a die-in. He likes me for some reason. So.
Well, John, you should call him and call his aunt.
Yeah, you know, I've talked to her before.
Right.
You know. She just gives you a sentence that doesn't mean anything.
Well, and what matters here is not her response, but what matters here is that she knows we are holding her to her word.
I hope that's. I'm glad she came out and made as strong a statement as she had. Okay, I mean that's unusual for her. Usually she sends out letters that are look like the language that GE used to put in its labor agreements. Okay. What does it mean?
I have the right to do anything I want to do.
What does it mean? And, you know, and Malice would tell the local, you know, former leader of our union, well, you have a right to strike. If it doesn't mean what you want it to mean, do something about it.
Exactly. Exactly.
But, you know, yeah. I mean, I don't know what you do with Shelley's. It's hard to get her to commit on anything, really.
Yeah, but she's made the commitment, and so now for the next 6 days, it's about trying to hold her to that commitment. So really, folks, friends and neighbors, we need you to call this afternoon, 202. I'm going to read this a couple of times, 202-224-3121. Write it down. Put it in your wallet. Put it in your purse. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it up there with a magnet on your refrigerator. This is the Capitol, Washington, D.C. Capitol switchboard, 202-224-3121. Call up Senator Capito and just call and ask for Senator Capito's office, and whoever answers the phone, tell them, I don't want my senator to go back on her word. We expect a no. A vote no on Republican health care or GOP health care. Will that work, Cheryl? Is that a good enough message?
Yeah, it's an excellent message. You need to, she promised that she wouldn't throw these West Virginians off.
Right.
And she needs to stick to her word. Otherwise, what else does she have?
Right. Yeah, as we know, watching this president, if a political leader, particularly a political leader with power, is not good for his or her word, then what are they good for? Those of us who believe that they're supposed to be representing us,
How could anybody who cares about West Virginia and who cares about the people of West Virginia vote to take the people of West Virginia off of health care? Lisa, is that you?
I don't know. Did we lose her? Let me see.
Lisa. Yeah, I think Lisa left us. She's very
Good morning. You're on the air.
It's Elisa. I called the drop. The call dropped.
Oh, thank you for coming back.
I don't know why it drops. It's so it's that's driving.
Thank you for coming back. It's really good to have you. Elisa, we're going to start winding this up in a little bit. Anything you want to add to what we've been talking about this morning? And are you? How do you feel about this vote? Cautiously optimistic. What do you think?
I think you know we have to stay vigilant. We have to keep calling in and keep the pressure on. Because I honestly don't know. I mean, with Manchin, I think we have been very fortunate that he has stayed on message with his messaging and with his support. That's one thing I think is excellent, that we have a senator who has been consistently supportive of keeping our health care and repairing it, not repealing.
Mm-hmm.
With Capito, it could go either way. And I think the more pressure we put on her, the better. She is listening. I was a part of a Protect Our Care bus trip yesterday to D.C., and we got to meet with her. And so, you know, and there was this miscommunication that the meeting had been canceled, and people were talking about it on social media, and she was paying attention. And we ended up getting to meet with her later in the day. You know, she didn't commit to anything, of course, but I think keeping the pressure on is going to be really helpful.
Great.
Another point I did want to make is that this bill, the AHCA, has been up. They've had widespread opposition from all healthcare experts, including the American Public Health Association, American Medical Association, and the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. I think the fact that the medical community is very opposed to this, especially because this bill is being written in secret without any kind of debate, is concerning.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes to Planned Parenthood, we want the Senate to listen. There are 80% of voters who support Planned Parenthood and mm-hmm. oppose these efforts that Congress is making to take away their health care. And I think it's also really important to note that when you say you're going to defund Planned Parenthood, and I touched on this before, that we're not getting a check. We don't have a line item. It's a misnomer saying you're going to defund Planned Parenthood, because, again, it just means that we won't be able to get reimbursed for mm-hmm. providing services.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing that's really important. People think, oh, with defunding Planned Parenthood, we get a check and we can spend it however we want. And that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also important to note people use the abortion services that our organization as a whole provides, and tax dollars don't go to fund abortions. The Hyde Amendment prevents any kind of taxpayer money going to fund abortion care. So it is completely separate. It is illegal for the federal government for us to take money from the federal government for abortion care. So what they're doing is taking away the basic health services I talked about earlier, the mm-hmm. life-saving cancer screenings, the birth control, the well woman visits, those kinds of things, that we really are in danger of losing those if this bill passes.
Well, great. Thank you so much for your insight and for your great work. Say hi to Cecile for Stuart Acuff when you talk to her.
I love Cecile. She's amazing.
Yeah, she is amazing. She's a great organizer, a great leader, and America is blessed to have her. Cheryl, we got to suppose that these kinds of efforts are going on in Maine, where Senator Collins is a possible vote with us, and Alaska, where Senator Murkowski, both women, is a possible vote with us, in Kentucky, where Senator Rand Paul is a, we think he's going to vote against AHCA. Are the efforts in
in Maine and Alaska as vigorous as the efforts here are?
I believe they are in their own right. They each have indivisible groups in all of those areas, and they're all very active. The thing is that we have all decided that we are the force that needs to be reckoned with. They need to pay attention to us. Apathy is not acceptable. You can't let other people get out there and do what you think should be done. You have to get out yourself and do it.
Right.
And that's what Indivisible has allowed for everybody. If you look at the Indivisible map, the number of groups that are out there now is just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And I know West Virginia itself probably has at least 18 or 20 that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
So get out there, join it, come to these die-ins on Friday and Saturday, come to them to the rally in Martinsburg on Monday. Mm-hmm. Let your voice be heard, because if you sit home, nothing's going to get done.
Susan, I know that West Virginia Women's March and Vigilance have both been very active on social media. Can you tell our listeners how people can connect with West Virginia Women's March and Vigilance through the internet and or Facebook?
Sure. Usually, just like anything else, when you're looking on Facebook, but you can type in Vigilance of Jefferson County and you should be able to find them. And also, Women's March of West Virginia, or Women's March of the Eastern Panhandle. However, if you would like to contact more of the groups that are across the Eastern Panhandle or even West Virginia, you are more than welcome to contact me and email me. And my email address is WVMarch, so WVMarch.Susan@gmail.com. Again, that email address is WVMarch.Susan@gmail.com. And just like Cheryl said, I urge you very much to join one of the groups, or two or three, because a lot of us, we work together, and that is what's most important. Don't sit at home or wait. A lot of you can't get out there for whatever reason, because hey, you might be disabled. That's no reason for you not to pick up the phone. Please call. Thank you.
Thanks everybody. We're going to go out with some music in a minute. Let me just mention a couple of things. Do not lose heart. Don't worry about this election yesterday in Georgia. We made up 15 points in the Georgia 6th district, actually close to 20 points in the Georgia 6th district on this election. We are winning the resistance. The courts are holding. Another court just ruled against Obama's anti-Muslim, anti-First Amendment American Constitution. Trump's. Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. Did I say Obama?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You had a time slip there. Man.
Yeah, I did. They're about to take me apart limb from limb here. We are winning, and we've got to pray and help our democratic institutions hold fast. I will see you and listen to you next Wednesday, where your weekly news of the resistance is on Enlighten Radio at 10 a.m. Wednesday from 10 to 11. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you, Elisa. Do the right thing. Call Shelley Moore Capito right now. Thank you, John. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Lisa, by the way. Are you still there?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Okay,
I'm really
sorry about the telephone issues. All right, but thanks for calling in.
Totally fine.
Wonderful talking to you. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, so you wanna, this is a song, by the way, by that came out about 6 months ago by the Truckers. And... it's about...
that's the drive-by truckers.
The drive-by truckers, which have excellent politics, even though they are a little bit deranged. But this is called What It Means, and I think you'll get it.
See y'all. God love.
Lo- shot him in his tracks. About the only thing agreed upon is he ain't coming back. There won't be any trial, so the air won't be clear. There's just two sides calling names out of anger, out of fear. And if you say it wasn't racial when